each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being. I was going to say TGIF, but it's not. No, why wasn't Thursday? It's Friday. Maybe because I'm not on the show. Maybe.
You're wishing your life away, Father.
Wow. Yeah, I was just thinking as I was listening to the intro, though, you know, I wrote those words.
I know you did.
I forgot about that. Oh, I'm sort of thinking, that's really
very quite beautiful.
Nice, you know?
Very profound.
Yes.
No, that comes at the very last, in the very last chapter of my book, A Mother's Plea. Because I was thinking, I saw the cosmic upheaval on the horizon. Well, it's upon us, and there's no doubt about it. You know, by the way, speaking of the book, which I haven't even thought of, or I haven't, I don't think I've ever read it. I wrote it, but you know, but actually, I got a beautiful letter from a prisoner in Japan.
No kidding.
Who's got the book and has read it. And I somehow it's gotten into the prisons because I've had about four different prisoners from different prisons who have written me about this book, you know. And he, the prisoner, it's actually a French prisoner in Japan.
Wow.
He's a Frenchman.
Oui, oui.
And, I should share it with you sometime, you know, not to pat myself on the back. It's not about that at all, but it's very consoling, you know, because he says he feels like in his cell Jesus is there and the mother's plea, and he says he feels like I'm there with him as well.
You know? It's beautiful.
So it is. It really
yes.
is. Did I show it to you? I don't know if
no.
No, I have to show it to you. It's really. I should have Christina go fetch it for me. You know, no, I wouldn't do that.
Fetch.
You wouldn't know where it's at. But anyway,
nice.
As I was listening to the what's that?
That's so
I
nice.
Like it.
Yeah. So anyway,
what are you trying to say, Father?
I don't know. That's going to be no. We don't know where we're going to go this hour. But there's a lot of things that I'd like to touch on. I had a very fruitful prayer this morning, to be honest. Just because I'm trying to wrap myself around. So many things, you know,
mm-hmm.
and well, let me just we'll begin with well, we've already begun, right? So I guess we'll move
we've
to
only
the
just
next
begun.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
We've only just begun. So the bishops, we should be praying for the bishops and the Pope in the synod, the extraordinary synod, as they're dealing with a family and marriage and sexuality and all this in view of the world. We live in. I thought it was very interesting because they just started Monday, maybe Sunday, mm. Sunday or Monday. They went into this extraordinary synod, and then of course this is, I think it's only the second extraordinary synod since the Second Vatican Council, second extraordinary synod since the Vatican Council, which took place in. Well, Jerry, you remember because you were there.
I was there, Father,
you know,
but not admitted into.
Not admitted into.
No.
Yeah. Because
I was not a cardinal.
You weren't a cardinal.
Right.
You never. You were not, and you are not, and you never will be.
Never will be.
And,
no.
And neither will I. So anyway, but the so yesterday the first reading, Paulin's letter to the Galatians. It was very beautiful. I say beautiful. I mean it was what a he went to Jerusalem, right?
Mm-hmm.
In council with the. With the apostles, with Peter and James and John and the others, to kind of battle it out. You know, what are we going to do with these Gentiles? Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and so you had. As I was reading that, I was thinking, you know, we're reading that here in Chicago, And the bishops and the Pope and the bishops are reflecting on this reading as well, as they're in the Extraordinary Synod. And I thought, isn't that so interesting? Because here they were in 2,000 years ago, they were dealing with, because as people you well know, that the very primitive church was what? It was Jewish.
Jewish.
It was all Jewish. All the apostles were Jews, and St. Paul was a Jew. The Blessed Virgin Mary was a Jewish. Jewish. Because it was from this nation that the Messiah would come. And then, of course, what did Jesus say at the end of his, at the end of the, on the day of the, I think it was the eighth day after the resurrection, he said, or perhaps at the day of the ascension, I think it's a couple of times where he sends them, you know, you wait for the gift of the Spirit, or he says, receive the Spirit, and now you've got to go to all the nations of the world, to all the four corners of the world, and preach repentance for sin, repentance from sin, to repent of sin, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it was Paul, really, who was a persecutor of the church. He was persecuting the church. He was a Pharisee, a zealot in that sense, in that regard. He was very, very passionate for the law and for the covenant, and he was persecuting the church. You know, these Jews who were accepting had accepted the Messiah, accepted Jesus as the Messiah, and so he's persecuting the church. And he was in fact the first martyr was Saint Stephen, right? Mm-hmm. Saint Stephen, and Paul was there. Paul was the instigator.
Yes,
Paul was the power behind that persecution. And but later, so Jesus appeared to him, blinded him, so as to open his eyes, and he says, "Saul," he says, "Why are you persecuting me? Why do you persecute me? Because in persecuting the church, you persecute me, because the church is my body. Jesus is a head; the church is a body." And of course, Paul was blinded. I think 3 days he was blinded, wasn't he? I think it was 3 days.
Yes, it was.
Which is interesting, isn't it? If it was 3 days, that's very interesting, because mm-hmm. Jesus was from
before the resurrection.
3 days from his death to the resurrection. And so Paul was certainly undergoing a dying and a rising to the new way, you know. And then he becomes the great apostle to the Gentiles. He actually does what the apostles were told to do. And so he goes to Jerusalem. We read this yesterday, and he's confronting. Ephesus even says, "I stood in opposition to Peter." You know, I opposed Peter. You know, because the question was, you know, how do we receive these Gentiles into the church? This is Judaism has to, the Jews have to move beyond themselves. They've got to embrace, envelop, receive the Gentiles who are being baptized. Because Paul was, baptizing. So I'm lost for words here. It's going to happen. Happens quite often during the day, quite often during the hour. But anyway, so they were dealing in a under the guidance of the Spirit, you know, these human beings, these human men, but imbued with the Spirit of God, all apostles, but under the guidance of the Spirit, they understood what it was they had to do in order to receive the Gentiles. Questions like, would they be circumcised? Would they have to adhere to the dietary mm-hmm. regulations, the laws, and of course all that was rectified right there, and the church, of course, here we are today in a Catholic, you know, 2,000 years later, truly universal. But you think of the popes or the bishops who are the successors of the apostles, with the pope who is the successor of Peter, a succession that's never been broken, and they're gathering because what? Because they've got to deal with, you know, the reality today. What is the reality? But you know, things have certain. The landscape has changed. Mm-hmm. The winds have changed, right? And so, what do we do? How do we? How do we deal with this? Mm-hmm. Especially the crisis we find in marriage, the crisis in the family, the crisis in the area of sexuality, all these things. How do we deal with this? How do we confront this? How do we communicate What do we do? In other words, it's as I say so often here, Lord, show me the way. Show us a way, you know? Show us a way in this. As the landscape has changed, show us the way. Well, what is the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as one cardinal said, I was from Mozambique, I read this morning at the Synod, he says we've got to be fully immersed in the Bible, and that we cannot succumb as people have succumbed, even as the Jews in the time of Hellenism, where you adapt, you cave in, or you accommodate mm-hmm. yourself to the world. There's been a lot of things said. Now the media will pick up on because what's happening is people are thinking, well, perhaps things are we're gonna see finally, we're gonna mm-hmm. finally see some major changes. In other mm-hmm. words, finally the church is going to wake up and step into the third millennium and is going, as the president says, I have evolved. The church is going to evolve yeah. into reality.
And, oh, yes.
And for instance, the church will accept the redefinition of marriage, and the church will permit divorce and permit the use of contraception and cohabitation and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And so people are looking for that, and they're expecting, many people are expecting these kind of changes, because the Pope has certainly been, has shown himself to be very, very pastoral, has shown pastoral sensitivity and yeah. a certain mercy that has always been part of the church, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much reflected in this priest or that priest or this person or that person or this parent or that parent, but the church, her mission is one of mercy, so the point is that as they're discussing these things, maybe even they stand in opposition one to another, mm-hmm. because one cardinal said, you know, it's interesting, you know, some of the things that I've heard or read from the synod, because everybody gets a chance to speak, right, mm-hmm. about the situation as they see it. But again, it's just, and the Pope said, you know, we've got to, let's have an open dialogue and talk freely, but we place ourselves as a body under the church, the teaching authority. This is the teaching authority of the church under the dominion of the Holy Spirit. And so one cardinal said that we should, his suggestion was that we should stop, get away from calling cohabitation people living in sin, you know. Another one, and I kind of understand perhaps what he's saying, but the reality is, you know, that this is, it's a sinful situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a sinful situation. So there was another thing that was said. Gosh, it just went out of my mind. Well, yes, that we should befriend the world. Now, I took issue with that because, of course, you know, God so loved the world, right? This is a scripture. The scripture opens, John's God. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. But people chose darkness. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. Now, that's a very interesting thing, right? Because, yes, and I've said this so often, the church loves life. If the church doesn't love life, then she ceases to be the church, right? Mm-hmm. We're lovers of life. But to befriend the world, mm-hmm. who said, did Jesus say?
No.
That we're at enmity with the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know? And this is mm-hmm. but we have to balance that,
mm-hmm.
you know? So to befriend the world, we tried to do that in the 60s and the 70s. What? Because the Second Vatican Council said we got to move. Just the very thing that the Holy Fathers have been saying, Pope Francis is saying in his own time now, we've got to go out of ourselves. We can't retreat, and we can't be in our ghettos. We can't insular, right? We got to mm-hmm. move. The mission mm-hmm. is to move beyond ourselves. The church is a church in mission. In fact, the Mass means missio, mission, mm-hmm. mission. So we come to Mass we gather in sacred assembly because we're people with a mission. And so that mission is to the world that God so loved, to bring the good news, to bring freedom, to bring liberation, to to proclaim Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other. And apart from God, there is no life. From God we come, to God we go, and God we live. And God has laid out a plan. I'll go back to what Pope John Paul II said. I've mentioned it before, but I think it was in Belgium. And he was on one of his pilgrimage. He was visiting the nation. And the people came out, and they were... And by the way, think of Belgium. In its day, had the most missionaries sent throughout the world were from Belgium.
Really?
Today, it's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. At the other extreme, as much of Europe is, Western Europe. And so when Pope John Paul II went, this was in the 1980s, could have been in the early 1990s, but it was somewhere around that time. And the people, they came in protest, and they burned effigies of the Pope, and they sent up helium-filled condoms, you know, in the presence of the Pope, and they were protesting, you know, the Church's teachings on marriage and family and sexuality and all that. And I always remember, because I thought it was a rather profound, the Pope, his response was, he says, you know, I haven't the authority to change this. Mm-hmm. I don't have the authority to change this. The Pope just can't at whim change these things. I mean, we can certainly deepen our understanding of what has been handed on to us. And, of course, we've got to decide how to best and better communicate who we are and how to, you know, how to exercise pastoral sensitivity so that we make it easier for people to reconcile themselves with the Church. And that means perhaps having to walk people through this process of reconciliation.
Sure.
And this is absolutely necessary. So we can't be pharisaical. Mm-hmm. And there's always that temptation to be pharisaical, to be very, you know, very rigid and mm-hmm. So tightly bound to the law that there's no breathing room,
yeah.
No room for breathing. So, but to think that it's all going to change, I would be completely surprised.
Or they even have the excuse, well, Jesus ate with the adulterers, the sinners, the tax collectors. Yes, he did. He was trying to convert them, bring them back home. It didn't mean he was going to go and sin with them and
exactly.
celebrate.
Exactly.
That's where the...
It's a good point, Christina. Thank you so much for that, because that was so needed. We need to hear that.
I'm sorry, what?
But you're asking, because it's so true.
Because a lot of bishops, I've heard it from other priests.
Yeah.
They, Father.
No, I'm serious. I appreciate this input. This is important.
Anyway. He's messing with you.
I know he is.
No, but I'm serious. I appreciate it, because the point is, and that's we have to understand, and I gave some examples, I think, a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, maybe not here, but when Jesus, when the woman was caught in adultery, mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. were going to stone her to death, mm-hmm. in keeping with the old law, Jesus says, wait, he says, he was without stone, let him cast the first stone.
He was without sin.
Yeah, they all had stones.
We all had stones. He got gallstones.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. That's very funny, Kristen. But he was without sin. Let him cast the first stone. And they all begin with the elders. They walk away.
Yeah.
And then Jesus, he looked at the woman. He says, "Woman, has anyone condemned you?" And she said, "No, sir, no one has." And he says, "And neither do I." He says, "But go now and don't commit this sin again." I said, "Don't commit this sin mm-hmm. again." Little man Zacchaeus. I love the little man Zacchaeus. You know, because He was despised. He was an extortionist. Is that what you said? Extortionist?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
He had taken, robbed from the people and all that, and they despised him. He was a little man, and here's Jesus coming through Jericho, and the people are lined up on the side of the street. They want to see him, and this little man, sinful tax collector, he wanted to see Jesus, and he climbed the sycamore tree, right?
Yes.
And he looks down, and to his surprise, Jesus looks up and says, "Zacchaeus." He says, "Zacchaeus, come down right away, because I want to stay in your house today."
Yeah.
And the little man, he quickly got down, because how is this? Jesus knows me. He's calling me by name. And he received Jesus into his home and into his heart. And he says, "Lord, I will give back all that I have taken from the people," right? Mm-hmm. There's a profound conversion. And this is exactly the point that you're making. Jesus changed people's lives. He went, he walked, he lived among the sinners, mm-hmm. but to change, to bring them into freedom, to bring them away from their darkness, to bring them away from their sin, to bring them away from their own enslavement, their own You know, so anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back. But this is the point of the synod is how do we best communicate in a way that people can understand the life that is the church, the freedom. And in fact, when we come back, I'll mention that young man, the young Muslim who was arrested at O'Hare Airport here the other day. And just remind me to say that when we come back, okay? Yeah. And then we'll move from there. Okay, so we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, WindsOfChangeShow.com. That's WindsOfChangeShow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at WindsOfChangeShow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. A good Thursday, right? A good Thursday.
Yes.
A beautiful Thursday in Chicago.
It is.
Getting ready for the marathon. I say today would have been the perfect day for the marathon,
right.
Wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Really?
And it looks like the forecast shows it's going to be raining. Who knows?
No. Really?
On Sunday. That's
but
what
only God knows.
Only God knows. That's what I'm saying. So, that's what they say.
But if that's what they say, it's probably right. That's usually, they're pretty, they're for the most part, they're
I don't follow right. The weather anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, so this, I was really struck by the young Muslim who was arrested at O'Hare a couple of days ago. It was a few days ago, maybe more than a few days ago. I don't know, but he was arrested. He was on his way to fight with ISIS or ISIL. ISIL, the Islamic State. ISIS, whatever. How do you say it, Geraldine?
I don't know, Father.
Geraldine.
It's all together in my mind.
Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Islamic State. And you know what he said? One of the things he said, he was arrested at the airport. And he said, he said, he's 19 years old. He's just a kid. An adult, legally an adult, but a kid. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm frustrated with the immorality. And I thought, so am I.
Yep.
So am I. And I think, Geraldine, you did so beautiful this morning on that reading.
I felt it, Father.
You did, I could tell. I thought this reading was written for you,
It was.
So the first reading today from the St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians, he says, "Oh, stupid Galatians. Oh, stupid Galatians."
I wish I could have heard that.
Are you so stupid, This is
I
reading right from the scripture.
I can just picture Jerry just reading it with
the passion. I mean, it was just like she was...
She was so inspired, right?
Yeah. I thought, well...
She was on fire.
The reincarnation of St. Paul right here, But, but really, when you think about it, and this is right out of the scripture. He says, "Oh, stupid Galatians." He says, "Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?" I want to learn only, it's just, are you so stupid? How is it? He says, how are you, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Do you experience so many things in vain? I was just, when it really woke me up this morning. That was at 6:15 when
wow.
when I heard that. But I thought, you know, don't you, and I think I said in the homily, I said, don't you feel that way sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You want to say, oh, stupid people.
Yeah.
Wake up.
You know? And I was checking in Spanish. I wanted to see what they, how
what
they,
did it say?
Well, it's insensatos, which
insensatos?
Is foolish. Insensatos. Mm-hmm. Insensato. O tonto. Tonto. Los tontos or cojudos. I was just going to different words. Estúpidos, no?
Estúpidos,
but
yeah.
Stupid
is better than the other.
Insensatos like is kind of soft. Estúpidos must more strong.
Which one? Estúpidos.
Really? Mm-hmm.
But in the Spanish is insensatos.
Insensatos. That's a more sophisticated way of saying stupid. Nicer way.
But I thought about that. I thought, you know, and I think this is where we have to wake up.
Yeah.
Because... You know, what we've done in our society is we've created this vacuum,
mm-hmm.
a vacuum. And, okay, it's fine for a while. Okay, the free reign of the flesh, do what you want. You know, people, sometimes they want that, there's a natural rebelliousness in all of us. You know, we go through a period of adolescence. What we've done in our society is we've perpetuated adolescence so that mm-hmm. you have adults in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, almost in their 80s, that are acting in a rather adolescent way.
That's all of us.
But, well, I hope it's not,
no.
you know. But, I mean, I think it's – but I think I see the point you're making, but we've got to shake ourselves out of that,
yeah.
you know.
We have to grow up.
Because there's a point where people, you know, they want – something, you know, give me some parameters, give me some boundaries,
structure.
Give me some structure,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in all seriousness, I was talking to Oscar this morning and we were discussing some of this stuff too over the telephone. I mentioned, you know, the pop culture drives the society. And so until we can shake ourselves from that, you know,
it's very basic, Father, because I remember Miss Neal, Bernadette Neal, she's a teacher, she still teaches, and she says that they would always send her the troubled children. She's an excellent teacher, and she always kept the discipline, the structure in the class. And other teachers that were not the same, they were a little more laid back,
wishy-washy.
Yes, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't handle these kids. They would send her the kids. She said, I don't know, what's the problem? I have no problem with those children. What they need is structure.
They
loved being in my class.
Right.
That's all we need.
I mean, don't you remember, even as a kid, I remember I was in the fourth grade, and we had a pretty disciplined, I mean, a teacher that was, and this was public school, this wasn't the Catholic school, but we had a teacher who was very firm and had order.
Mm-hmm.
We had good order in the classroom and all that. And the classroom across the hall from us was just like, they were like animals. They were,
disaster.
I mean, it was a disaster. She had no control whatsoever. And do you think they learned in that classroom?
No way.
No.
You know, but to go back to the words of Joseph Stalin, Vladimir Lenin, I think I mentioned this last week, but until we have the courage and the humility to look at ourselves, I mean, really take a good look at ourselves as a nation, as a people, and understand that, you know, we're feeding this unrest
mm-hmm.
in the lives of so many. This, you can't you know, blame the young people so much. I mean, but Lenin says, he's give me 4 years now. You think what the media has done, and I mean this in all seriousness. You know, the pop culture, Hollywood. When you think of you go to a movie, just about any movie these days, right? And what is it that you're subjected to, even from the time you're a child, basically? Unless it's, I don't know, I haven't been to cartoons, seen the cartoon, Disney cartoons or anything like that. I don't know what's going on there. Mm. But for the most part, you know, if you're sitting in your living room with your with your parents, you know, what is it? I mean, I don't have a television myself, but when I went, when I would go home and be sitting there watching TV with my parents, I mean, I was embarrassed.
Yes.
I was embarrassed by the stuff that, and it, this wasn't any kind of, you know, this was just regular TV. This is regular TV in the evening. And I'll tell you how they're really pushing the acceptance of the gay lifestyle and all that kind of stuff for this. It's amazing. Yeah. It's just we're being completely talk about being bullied into into accepting this, which is not which is unacceptable from a biblical stand. Now that's not the to. Diminish an individual or to, but you know, that we've come to this point that we so in such a flippant way, we just think we can just redefine marriage. And if you don't accept this, then you're antiquated, bigoted, hateful, and all that. This is a ridiculous. But again, you think so. Lenin said, and the teacher in the lives of the primary teacher. Let me just say this. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that we're being primarily taught by what we see on the television.
Yes.
So even you know it's that true. Television becomes a babysitter in many ways. So Lenin said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I plant will never be uprooted." You know.
Right.
I've told people. I tell often at baptisms. I say, you know, if I were to come to your door, because you've got the babies or baptized. So I come to your door and I'm knocking on your door and I want to come in and I'd like you to invite me in to teach your children a way of speaking, a way of acting, a way of behaving that is absolutely contrary to your faith, to your principles and your values. Would you allow me into your home? And of course, he says, of course not. Of course not. Oh, so okay. Now, do you have televisions? Yes. How many televisions? There's a television in the kitchen. There's a television in the living room. There's a television in the dining room. There's a television in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe exaggerating, but
that's true.
Okay, so already be aware, and I realize this is part of this is part of the culture we live in. But be astute, be aware that if you're not living the faith, living your values and your principles, then you know the primary teacher will be the television, and
delights in throwing out decency. It takes great gusto. We don't want anything that's decent here.
Do we or do we not? It's just that we're exposed to, we're affected by this this other stuff, you know.
Oh yeah.
But again, I going back to what Joseph Stalin said. Now these were two atheistic leaders of the Russian Soviet Republic, but Stalin said, you know, America, and this is in the 1950s, America's like a healthy body, and its strength, its resistance is threefold, is that it's patriotic, which means what? But it's one nation under God. That's the motto of our nation, right? One nation under God. I think it still is. It's morality and it's spiritual life.
Yeah.
It's a Judeo-Christian country. He says, if we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. So I've already mentioned this about three different times over the last couple of weeks on the radio. But so this idea that we're going to befriend the world, it's what we're to. St. Paul says, if you give free rein to the flesh, flesh of its nature will lust against the spirit. We, on the other hand, have to put ourselves under the dominion of the Holy Spirit. And this is a path that is not easy. It's a narrow path. It's a difficult path. The way of the flesh is easy, but it's the way to death. It leaves people very very lonely and in their own darkness. And so a young person knows that there's something wrong, intuitively knows. But when you don't have the there's no systemic health, solidarity, community, stability,
guidance,
then there's a vacuum.
Yeah.
And so they're gonna look for something somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was taken up by that that young Muslim who said, you know, I'm fed up with the immorality. And I think a lot of people are. Not mm-hmm. that we, you know, there's no justification for then joining oneself to a terrorist group or the jihadist or none whatsoever. But it is a cry, isn't it? A cry yes. for something.
Yeah. It's like enough is enough already.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is this inside of all of inside of enough of us, yes. I think. But it's just that we've been so bullied into silence, into political correctness. I say, I told the parish here, you know, at the beginning of the year, with the school, that we gotta. I want this year that we just completely bury that stuff, that political correctness.
Yeah,
it's insane. We've become what's happening in our society is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's
no
insanity.
Logic. There's no reasoning and logic have been just thrown away.
Idiocy,
mm-hmm.
stupidity,
yes.
insanity. No borders, no boundaries.
Right.
Eat, drink, and be merry. You know. Progression. We're progressives. Yeah. This is a digression.
Oh, wow. Yes,
it is.
The reform of society is a deformation,
mm-hmm.
a deconstructing history.
Yeah.
And so we're completely disconnected as a people. And I believe that we're at a time when my hope is that enough of we feel this within ourselves, and we just say, okay, you know, enough of this. Enough of this being bullied into or manipulated into just kind of soft pedaling through this garbage, this decadence, because, you know, we're going to offend somebody. And, you know, we're not here to offend anybody, mm-hmm. but we are here to live and to proclaim the truth. And that truth will set us free. And that truth is Jesus Christ. And no apologies. And so when a cardinal says, you know, well, we got to befriend the world, well, what do you mean by that?
No way.
As I say, and we'll take a break here, but God so loved the world. So but it's, you know, a parent loves two adults that come together and they have children and they love their children. They love their children so much that they're not going to just let their children do whatever they want.
No.
You know, they have an understanding that we've got to create a solid foundation. We've got to establish these parameters or these boundaries, these laws within which they live, so that they make a worthy contribution to the harmony within the home, and that they become good citizens of the land, and that there's a concern for their salvation as well. So take a break. When we come back, I want to, already I was looking at the gospel reading for Sunday, and I just want to share, and also the reading, the gospel today about prayer. We'll come back and we'll look at that, okay? We'll see where we're going to go with that. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Hello, you silly elves.
Hello, Santa.
Listen, elves. St. Stanislaus Koska is having its annual Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair.
This sounds like fun.
And elves, I'm going to need your help to get ready.
We're happy to help. Santa, when is the Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair?
Well, Elfie, St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair takes place Sunday, November 2nd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Santa, is there going to be food?
You silly elf. Yes.
Yay.
Here, elves, read the menu.
Ooh, mostacholi. That's nice. Turkey and ham sandwiches.
Hot dogs.
Flautas.
Tamales.
Corn.
And so much more.
Is there going to be a raffle?
Yes, with prizes from $50 to $1,500. And the drawing is at 4. Come join us for an afternoon of fun and games with tabs, sale items, bake sale, and so much more. And Santa will be there, too. St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair, Sunday, November 2nd, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago, one block north of Division Street.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have trouble with some of the teachings of the church? Well, I have good news for you. I am Father Thomas J. Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. In a sense, the church has no teachings. It is God who has the teachings. It is God who created the divine order of things, and the church simply points to that order and says, Be honest to that order and you will be happy. The why behind what the church says about any moral issue has to do with whether or not we are telling a truth or telling a lie with the language of our bodies. If we are honest with the language of our body, we'll be holy and therefore happy. Being dishonest with the language of our bodies results in hurt and therefore unhappiness. Almighty God and the church want us all to be happy. Having a problem with church teachings really means having a problem with God and of not understanding the theology of the body. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taberlife.org. Taberlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. A good Thursday. Don't worry, be happy, right? Be happy. As Father always was saying, happy. You know how to be happy, right?
There's that happy song. Happy.
Happy, happy.
Be happy, you silly elves.
So if I were the Pope, and I won't be, this is why I would never be a bishop or a cardinal. I'll tell you why. You want me to tell you why right now?
Why, Father? Why?
Because if I were the Pope, here's what I would do. Again, I don't care about political. Right now, I'm in one of those spaces, you know?
Get rid of the red shoes.
Stupid people. Because I need people to help me as well to live my vocation, to live my call, to be true to my call. And I look around and I get frustrated because it's so hard. And I listen to people all the time and people feel so alone out there in many ways. But if I were the Pope, I would make it an edict, a law, that men would sit on one side of the church and the women would sit on the other side of the church. I would separate the men from the women during the celebration of the Mass. Because I saw this in Mexico, and I was very much impressed by it, and I thought, wow, you know, this is really a beautiful thing. He says, but you know, then you're separating the families and all that. No. The men, alongside the men are their sons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even if a man is not a father, you know, there was just something about seeing those men together where they felt like they had to take these guys under their wings. Mm-hmm. They had to set an example. And so I saw something that I just don't see. And then, of course, the women have their daughters there. And they got they'll have the little toddlers as well, so there might be little boys and the babies and all that. But I thought that was it's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
I thought, you know, if I were to be raised to the chair of Peter, I think that would be one of the first things I would do, you know. And I would also have the women cover their heads. Mm-hmm. So you say, what? I know you. And the reason why I say that is, and I'm sorry that we did away with that, because mm-hmm. it communicates something.
Yes, it does.
Cover their heads and cover themselves.
Well, you know, and of course men too. You know, not cover their head, it could be like the men. I don't know, just something that when you come into this, you come through these doors, you're coming into mm-hmm. sacred space.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there is something about, like, you know, for instance, if I were to celebrate the Mass, I celebrate the Mass twice a day, sometimes more than twice a day. If I were to come out, just imagine, you know, Sunday that I come out on the altar to celebrate the Mass and I'm just wearing blue jeans and a T-shirt, or maybe uh-huh. or maybe just dressed as I am now, like a priest uh-huh. wearing a Roman collar, it would be offensive, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
And there's just something about because these are clothes you only wear when you enter into the sacred space mm-hmm. and to celebrate
the
sacred
mysteries.
That's
how it was before, Father. It was. The Sunday clothes.
Sunday clothes. Yeah. No, we've just become so relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Sloppy.
Sloppy. I don't know. Anyway, that's it. So, and there's a few other things I would do as well. But I'm not going to go into
just
it right now. Just a few, you know. So let it be. So be it. Now, by the way, speaking about that, think of the Bible, you know, the Scripture. I'm asking the Three Stooges here.
The three wise people.
I think it was right the first time.
The three wise guys. No,
the three musketeers.
The three
blind mice. Tres amigos. So who do you identify with in the Bible?
Saint Peter. Totally Saint Peter.
Why?
Because Saint Peter had, and I'm very much like in the sense that he had a real strong personality, and he was always screwing up. He's trying to impress Jesus, but he loved him, and Jesus knows that he loved him very much, even though he screwed up all the time, and he denied him, but he loved him very much.
He was a good student. He wanted to impress a teacher,
the
master.
The master.
And you're always trying to impress
God.
God, yes, mm-hmm. I was going to say.
Yeah, him, only him.
Yeah. What about you, Geraldine?
I would lean toward Peter because he's all mouth at certain times. And all of a sudden, when it really gets rough, yeah, I don't know who that guy is. Nope, I never saw him before. And it's hard to stand up and live for what you say you're sure. living for.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. It's interesting that both of you chose mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. Peter. What about Tony?
You know, I don't think it's just one. I go through, just because I'm still learning, if you would have asked that, the first thing that comes to my mind is Jesus. I mean, I...
Yeah.
Especially during Lent. I mean...
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Especially during Lent. I mean, just the Stations of the Cross. And I try to just get in to his persona. I try to...
Interesting.
See what he would do.
So you go right to the top.
I try.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. There's times that cross is really heavy to carry.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. To be able to say with St. Paul, it's not I who live, but Christ who live in me, right? Yeah. And I was thinking about that this morning as well, and because we've revisited, or we've in the liturgy, we've gone the way of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and, mm-hmm. and of course, Isaiah and all that. And I was, when I was out this morning, out and about, I was thinking about that. And actually, going back to the book, A Mother's Plea, I remember, well, you know, I actually wrote that in the book in one of the chapters there too, because I think I identify with Jeremiah, not the bullfrog, but Jeremiah the prophet, you know? And, you know...
It's not John?
You're supposed to laugh when I say that. What?
John.
Well,
John
I like John.
The beloved.
And I know
the favorite.
Myself to be the beloved
like
and the favorite.
Beloved.
No, I'm just joking. But I like John and I like Peter. Those are the two that I've always... I really think I identify with
Jeremiah.
And the good thing is...
And I do get that reference.
Yeah?
The bullfrog.
The bullfrog, yeah.
Where's that from? Where's that reference from?
Oh, that's
from
before
from?
Your time.
You don't know anything about that.
That was a song.
Oh, okay.
See, that's before your time. Geraldine, you know.
No,
are
I
you
don't.
Serious?
It was probably after my time.
Jeremiah. who sang that?
I want to say Clear.
Jeremiah
I can't think
was
of
was a bullfrog. I don't know. I can't sing.
Yeah,
Anyway,
I know the song.
Then that's why you didn't respond or laugh or anything. You didn't know what I said. But seriously,
I was laughing inside.
Yeah, exactly. But Jeremiah, you know, I was thinking in a Three Dog Night.
Three Dog Night. Yes.
Three Dog Night.
Okay.
Yeah. Three Dog Night. Thanks, Armin.
I knew Armin would know.
Yeah. But having said this, I think this, if we all would sit down and think about it. I think many people would perhaps easily identify with Jeremiah, who really loved the Lord, God, Yahweh. He, you know, was more than willing to go, you know, to get into this mission, to be a prophetic voice. And it caused him... a lot of derision. He suffered a lot as a result of it. I'm not trying to say that I've suffered so much, but I love, it just came up a few weeks ago in the liturgy, but when Jeremiah speaks about, remember he says, you duped me, O Lord. In fact, Tony, you read that.
Yes.
You duped me,
I'm going to be the duped guy from forever now.
but he says, you know, and I said, I'm not going to speak no longer in his name, but then this wells up inside me. This fire burns within, and I can't hold it in. The passion is rekindled, but Jeremiah says, and this is I've so often felt this, and the beautiful thing I think at this point in my life is I was thinking about this morning that I've reconciled with this, that you know, I sat alone under the weight of your hand in the midst of merrymakers. And I think this is where the church is. I mean, those who are devoted to the faith, devoted Catholics, those who are sincerely and deeply, you know, devoted to Christ. I think as individuals and as a body, as a community, we feel so often today like we're alone under the weight of God's hand in the midst of these merrymakers, and we choose to, because isn't sometimes, don't you ever think, you say, I wish I didn't have this burden, because it's a happy burden, but it becomes sometimes it's not a very happy burden, because, you know, why do we want to rain on everybody's parade?
Yep.
Why do we want to, you know, be a thorn in the side, or be the conscience of the people? We who know ourselves to be sinners, to be fallen. It's something to think about, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Anyway, let's take a final break, then we'll come back and kind of wrap up. So I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us on this good Thursday. No, a good Thursday. Yes. You know, just by way of closing, because we're at the end of the hour, a few minutes away, I was really impressed with David Carolla.
Carolla.
Who was Carolla. Carolla. Mm-hmm.
Carolla.
Who was here the other day. He was, I think, Tuesday. I think we had
it
him on the
Tuesday.
Show.
It was Tuesday.
By the way, I got a lot of nice comments from people.
Good.
About that show. You know, they were very much inspired. And I was thinking, you know, and we've got, this is the month of the rosary, but we need to bring those rosaries out. We need to pray. Heed the call. The Blessed Virgin Mary at Fatima to pray for the conversion of sinners and for peace in the world. And again, before we take the plank, or the speck rather, out of our brother's eye, we take the plank out of our own. Mm-hmm. We know that. Some of us do.
Yeah.
And I say that in all sincerity. So it's the fact is we need each other. We can't do it alone. And there is a vacuum in the world today, and it's for us, those of us who espouse the faith, who are espoused to the Lord, espoused to the church, who are disciples on the way, students, who want to impress the Master. You know, we want to impress the Master because we've found that He brings what nobody can bring, nothing can bring, a peace, a joy, a strength, even a sadness. Can I say that? Even a sadness.
Oh, yeah.
A sadness at what shouldn't be.
Yes.
What shouldn't be. There's no reason. I had a young girl the other day, just a young girl, who's cutting herself. And as I listened to her story, I understand. You know, and that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't cause me sadness, then something's wrong with me, I think, don't you think?
Yes.
And so we look around and we see things that are happening, and it brings us sadness. So to have life in Jesus is to have a sadness, to have a certain sorrow. But at the same time, you know, we're not defeated,
no.
And we don't lose hope because He is our hope. He is our hope. And at the end of all things, you know, we know that the victory is ours. But I was thinking about this reluctance on the part of our people today to humbly admit that, you know, we are sinners. We are sinners. We are in need of God's redeeming, sanctifying, salvific grace. You know, we need the Spirit. You know, think about when you think about the prayers that are so common to our the prayers that we all know, but to think, you know, pray for us sinners as we end the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We would really reflect on that, right?
Yeah.
Pray for us sinners that we ask because we are the Our Father, you know, the petitions. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against. Lead us not into temptation. In other words, Lord, save me from myself and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. It means really specifically the evil one, the root of all evil. Deliver us. But this is an acknowledgement, right? We recognize that we are a broken people in need of reconciliation, forgiveness, that we are left to ourselves, we are our worst enemies. And so we need God's grace that we not be led into temptation, that we not, you know, deliver us from evil. But I was thinking also that the prayer that Our Lady instructed the children to give us at the end of each decade, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, again, acknowledging, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. You know, but again, this acknowledgement that we are sinners and that we don't want to deny him. We don't want, and we have a concern for the salvation of all people. And for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You know, it's, anyway, we're just going to end it there, but what can I say? We, under the weight of his hand, we sit alone in the midst of merrymakers.
Yes.
But with a gift, a gift. And we stay here because to lose this gift is to lose everything, and that gift is Christ Jesus. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now, the winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide, the winds have changed. To say